Good afternoon once more. I can promise you that much if the Lord would leave us here. Bear with me 40 minutes more. You won't hear me again. That much you can be assured of. We're going to turn to the fifth heading we have in relationship to the Lord Jesus. And there is one that we have said we're going to discuss, which is Son Over His House. And once again, I would like to read a couple of the references and then understand why there is the thought of a house, the teaching of it. And then I would like to once more to bring the practical aspect of it. Now, what does it mean to me when I talk about He is Son Over His House? So we're going to approach it the first few minutes, the doctrinal of it, why a house, what's the intention behind the house, why He is the Son over His house. But the second aspect is, what does this house mean to me? So the book of Hebrews and chapter 3, as you have the references in front of you, and we would begin reading from verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. We're not going to go through all these verses. We're not going to touch them. But that's leading to the thought of Son over His house. Brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded, or the builder, the house has more honor than the house. The one that builds the house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is builded by some, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were be spoken after. But Christ as Son over His own house, whose house are we? Let me repeat that. But Christ as Son over His own house, whose house are we? The First Peter chapter 4, and then at the end we will come to the living stones. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and thus far as we will discuss this subject for a few minutes. Excuse me. The thought of a house. I would say 99% if I asked any person today, why would you buy a house? And I'm almost positive and I trust that the answer is to live there. To live there. I trust that that's the answer. Maybe for little children to play there. But the answer, especially for the older ones, that when we invest in a house, it is in relationship of dwelling there. Of living there. So before I speak a little bit about Him, Son, over His house, I would like to discuss what is the purpose of God in relationship to that subject we are going to take up this afternoon as far as the house of God, and He is Son over His house, over His house. The first thing that I want to highlight, I want you to take hold that God from the beginning have every intention to dwell amongst the people of God. This is why even from the book of Exodus chapter 25, when he was trying to impress upon Moses that he desired to have a tabernacle, the purpose for it, that I may dwell amongst you. So God was looking for a dwelling place, and as we would know, that there was a tabernacle system, and from that location, God dwelt and communicated with Moses. That thought of dwelling has been seen also in building a temple, and that temple, in relationship to the Old Testament system, it was called the House of God. Another name to it, it was called the Temple. Another name to it that was uniquely said and uttered once by the Lord Jesus. And we're not going to discuss this subject, but it is interesting to see the only one who uttered and went into the temple and he called it my Father's house. That's a subject by itself. But God has every intention to have a house so that he might dwell. That tells me something, that God desires to have a dwelling place amongst men. That's why the last thought, or one of the last thoughts we read as far as the eternal state is concerned, and God's tabernacle was with who? With men. Because God desired to dwell with you, to dwell with the company. They also desire to dwell in the individual. God in his essence loves to dwell with you and with me in a company, but also in you and in me as individually. But we're not talking about the individual. But God said, the Lord Jesus says, and I and my Father will make our abodes where? In him. So the thought of God's desire to dwell should really bring an excitement to my own heart that God have decided, have purposed, although the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. That's what the Bible said. And yet the delight of his heart is to dwell amongst his people. That's why God said, God will not dwell anymore in temples or houses or anything that is made of what? Of hands. So God wants a dwelling place. So here comes the Lord Jesus in his greatness as a Savior, in his greatness as a shepherd, in his greatness as a teacher, in his greatness as a head, but now as a son over his house. The first thing I want to highlight, that God desires to dwell. And your response and I should be this. We're going to come to it. But I want you to think of the first thought is that God desires to dwell, that I may dwell amongst you. The second thing that when we, before we come to the Son, that where the presence of the Lord is, was always called the house of God. Let me say it again, hopefully you take it. Where the presence of the Lord was, it was always called that this is the house of God. So the house of God is not only God desires to live or to dwell, but where the Lord is, there was the presence of God. You know what? Before there was a temple that was called the house of the Lord, they used to talk about the presence of the Lord as the house of God. All you have to do is go to the Old Testament. And they used to talk about going into the house of the Lord, but there was no temple yet. That expressions of the house of the Lord, you'll see it in the days, in the early days of Samuel with Eli and his sons, but there was no physical temple yet. But there was the presence of the Lord. So young people, I want to impress upon you. That's why you will see me, although I love a good laugh, and you know that by now. But when it comes to divine things and when it comes to the things of Christ, it's a serious matter. And when it comes to the presence of the Lord, because where the presence of the Lord, there is the house of God. Jacob, when he was dreaming and living and laying his head back, and he knew about the presence of the Lord, he felt the presence. You know what he called the place? He called the place Bethel, the house of God, just because he felt the presence of the Lord. And I want you to understand that when we come together as a company, it is a company of the house where God have every desire to dwell, because his habitation is us by the Spirit. He dwells amongst it. But I want you to take hold of the truth that this is where the presence of God is. Now, when you come to the meeting effective today, if I can ask you nicely, when you come to the meeting effective today, do not come in a casual way. Do not come as you are entering into whatever occasion you might think of. Do not come as one that is going into their class in school. Do not come into the house of God or the gathering thinking of the gathering like any other place, because it is not. We have to start taking hold of that principle and of that truth, the presence of the Lord. That if I certainly believe that the presence of the Lord is amongst the company because this is where He dwells, believe me when I tell you. Believe me when I tell you. Unless the individual, young and old alike, we start taking hold of that truth that we're going to meet the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is God over all, the presence of God Himself, we will start coming to the meetings and behaving differently. Until I reach that point. If I will meet my point, if I will not reach it by way of experience that I am in the presence of God, then I can come and do foolish stuff. Then I could come and have the phone who will take the place, the preeminent place of Christ in the meeting. Then everything else will go along. That's okay. Why? Because I don't have in my own soul the truth that this is where the presence of God is. And I want to tell you, when you are in the presence of God, things change tremendously. The outlook is different. The outlook is different. You look at things in a different way because you've been acquainted with the presence of God. Why? Because that's where the presence of God is. So the house of God is a dwelling place. The house of God is the presence of God. Let's take hold of that truth. For thou, God, seest me. He's in the present. He sees. He knows. Even when the Lord Jesus walked in the midst of the assemblies, it says, and I am the one who is walking in the midst of the seven candlesticks. He walks in the midst because that's the presence of the Lord. When I and your parents and the brethren cannot see what you are doing in the back, remember, there is one that is greater than your parents. There is one that is greater than the brethren, and that's the Lord Himself. For thou, God, seest me. And if I will start taking hold of that truth, the presence of God, that God knows all things, He sees all things, and He's making assessment on all things, it will change my behavior. So the first thing is that the reason of a house, God desires to dwell. So if God desires to dwell, then the next thing that I will understand, the presence of God is there. The third thing I have to understand, that it is His house. That's a very important principle. It's His house. What it means that it is His house? It is Son, look, Son over His own house. That word Son is His name. If you look in certain translations with the capital letter, it's the Lord Jesus as Son. You know why? He is Son over His house. He was making a contrast that Moses and others are faithful individuals. You and I are faithful maybe in the house of God, whatever measure we might do, because it's a line of responsibility. We're going to talk about the responsibility. But the Lord Jesus, He is Son over His house, and His house is who? Is you and me. So in the present time, the house of God is the people of God. That's what the house of God is all about. So the line of privilege is that we are the body of Christ. The line of responsibility is that we are the habitation of God. But He is Son over His house. Listen, listen. Please listen carefully. When the scripture says He is Son over His house, that if there is one that has the right to administer everything in relationship to this house, it is Him and Him alone. It is Him and Him alone. That's why we have to be very careful when the scripture says something, that He is Son over His house. He is responsible, and if I can use a language where we all might understand, and he would run it in the best way that is suitable to himself. If I can use that language, could I? Just to make it simple. So that tells me that in the house of God, I don't do whatever I want. I don't alter the thoughts of the house of God. I don't change. Listen, this is God's principle from the beginning. Don't change things that are divine. It breaks my heart to pieces when I see individuals leaving the gathering and going else places. And when they go to different places, they have taken away the truth of the body. They have taken away the truth of the house. They have taken away the truth of the priesthood. They have taken away every other truth. And they are wonderful. I'm not saying anything as far as their standing before God. But it breaks my heart to pieces when we are willing to give it up and go elsewhere and lose sight that he is son over his house. He does things in a way that is suitable to him. If you want to go places that are suitable to me, well, the brethren don't do that. Well, they don't do that for a reason, you know. They don't do that for a reason. It's okay. I am sure there's no older brother that's going to tell you, don't ask this question. If you come to ask, show me the scriptural basis of how the house of God should be conducted. And we've got to be prepared for these questions. Not only tell people, well, you should remain, you should do this, and you should do that, but we better be prepared to give answers when young people will come and give us questions. But young ones, you have to be prepared to accept the answer from the Word of God. You have to be receptive to the voice of the Lord. You have to be receptive to the scriptures, what the Bible is teaching. And that's why he is son over his house. He's the administrator. He does everything according to his mind, and not yours and not mine. That's how God functions, you know that? That's how God functions. He doesn't make things suitable for me. For example, when he built the tabernacle, you know what he told Moses? Listen, Moses, I want you to build the tabernacle, but according to whose pattern? According to my pattern. According to the pattern that I give you. No, don't build the tabernacle, you say. Oh, that might look nice if we put more gold here. What do you mean might look nice? He said, I want you to build the tabernacle according to my pattern. According to what I tell you. Nothing else, nothing more. When he gave us the scripture in the book of Revelation, he said, and if any man shall add or take away from what? From the scripture. That's what he wants us to know. That's all of the scripture wants to give us. Don't add to it, don't take away from it. God wants it this way. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, he was telling Moses to build an altar, and he said, listen, the altar that needs to be built, I don't want anything of man to be introduced into it. I want it this way. And the house of God is the same way. He is son over his house in the sense that he administers all the rights and all the responsibilities and all the work that needs to be done in that house for the house of God, for the dwelling of God, his own way. That's why we behave the way we behave. That's why we maintain a role in the assembly. In the house of God, there is an order of things. Because God has planned it so. I don't want to say to tell the young people, for the young people to think, it is all the invention of the brethren. It is the brethren. God forbid, there is no brethren. There is no denomination. It is the order of God. So when it comes to the house, it is in relationship to order. There's an order of things. And that's why I'm going to tell you, I don't want to shock you, but I want to tell you, is that when you come into practical fellowship with the saints of God, oh, I'm sorry, that's not that. Okay. Okay. So when you come into practical fellowship, I don't want to raise hands. How many of you are in practical fellowship? But when you come to the practical fellowship, because he is son over his house, there's an order of things. He taught us how things need to be conducted. When you come into practical fellowship, because now you are part of that body and you are ushered into all the privileges and the responsibilities of the house of God, you are no more telling the brethren, it's my own business. Let me say that again. You don't like that, do you? You are no longer telling the brethren, when you want to come and take your place at the Lord's table, if I could, into all the privileges and the responsibilities that comes with being part of the body and part of that house, you tell the brethren, well, it's not of your business. There is nothing amongst the saints of God. It's none of my business. Your business is my business. And my business is your business. You know why? Because we affect one another. We influence one another. And as far as God is concerned, this is the way it should be conducted. There is an order of things. So the first thing that I want to impress upon you in a practical way, that what Paul was impressing upon a young man by the name of Timothy, that when he was writing about the house of God, it is a matter of how I behave. How thou oughtest to behave, where? Where? In the house of God. House of God is a behavior. We said earlier, if I can take hold of the truth that the blessed God, the Lord Jesus, is in the midst of the company, my behavior will change when I come to the meeting. Because I'm in the presence of the blessed God. How you ought to behave in the house of God. So listen, when the saints of God are coming collectively, that's a representation of all the house of God, and God's dwelling place is in the midst. He is in the midst. The Lord Jesus has promised what? Where two or three are gathered to my name, there am I in the midst. The Lord Jesus is in the midst, and because he's in the midst, you better learn how to behave. You better learn how to behave. That's why, young people, believe me, I ask you to forgive me if I impress these things upon you. And if I said something that might sound way off, it's because I love you. The house of God is connected with behavior. In a practical way, it's all about behavior. You know what was said of David? David stood before Saul. David, you see, the house of God and the body of Christ, or the assembly. Let me say that quick comment before we lose sense that it's only Lord's Day morning. We are 24/7 in the house of God. We are 24/7 the assembly of God. We are 24/7 the body of Christ. And yet sometimes we come collectively and function in that way, but we're always the house of God. Always. But you know what? It impresses me that a man like David, it was said of him, and he behaved himself wisely. Wisely. Where did David learn this? You know, you read some Psalms with David, what he is desiring, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. What house? David never built a house. What house? He was in the good of it. He was in the good of the house of the Lord. But because he was in the good of the presence of the Lord, that makes the presence of the Lord in some occasions makes the house of God, he behaved himself wisely. When he stood before Saul, he behaved himself wisely. When he stood before others, the Bible says, he behaved himself wisely. And when you come together collectively with the saints of God as the habitation, as the house of God, we better learn this principle that we are going to behave wisely in the presence of the Lord. David behaved himself wisely. So when an older brother and older sister might come and say something in the spirit of love, I trust, not in the spirit of the sword of Peter that was willing to chop ears and to chop heads and, you know, all these things. But listen, when a brother or a sister would approach you about something in relationship to things and in relationship to the behavior, in relationship to conduct that is all pertaining the house of God, you take it from them in love. And brethren, if we are approaching a brother and older sisters, if we are approaching younger sisters in relationship of how to behave wisely in the house of God or in the presence of the Lord, we might as well do it in love. Let's not chop heads. We're not here to chop heads, but we're here to exhort one another, to help one another, to instruct one another. And that's why I will encourage men, when you come into the presence of the Lord, you are coming in the presence of the Lord. Maybe brethren have heard it in the past and they might hear it again. And I said, you'll forgive me, right? You're going to forgive me, right?
You're going to forgive me?
I had liberty to approach certain brethren coming to the meeting with a short and a jeans and a flip-flop. I'm going to tell you how you ought to behave in the house of God. So if I said something to a brother in the past, a young brother, because he's coming with torn jeans and something to the meeting, that's not in accordance to how you ought to behave in the house of God. David behaved himself wisely. Young sisters, be careful how you come to the house of the Lord. Because when it comes to the house of God, is how you ought to behave. It's a matter of behavior. It's a matter of how I conduct myself before God and before the saints of God. Because after all, he is son over his house. It's not my house. It's not your house. Listen, I'm a father. And I have my own house. And if I want to look, wow, you know, I'm a man of my house, I might come up with some regulations, right? That's to show them who's the boss. But listen, I'm going to say it in a spirit of love and understanding. You can do whatever you want to do at your house. But when it comes to the house of the Lord, he is son over his house. Whatever he says goes, not what you say. Whatever he asks does, we do. Whatever he requested, we follow. It's not what you say, what I say. It means nothing what Brother John says. It is all what the Lord has requested because he is son over his house. I should take back what I said. You can do whatever you want to do in your own house. You cannot do that. I always challenge myself if when Christ wanted to rest in his earthly ministry, the Bible says he often resorted to the house of Bethany. He often resorted there. He often went there. We don't have too many records, but the Bible says he often resorted to Bethany. So he was welcome there, and everything that was in that house was in order and according to his mind. So I want to take back what I said. You can do whatever you want to do in your own house. No, you cannot do. You want to, even in your own house, maintain conditions where Christ will come to your house and feel at home. Where Christ could enter into your own house and be at rest and rest like he did in the house of Bethany. And sometimes I have to challenge myself, if the Lord was invited to my own house, how many things I'm going to run and hide, thinking that the Lord doesn't know about them and hide them in the closet because I don't want the Lord to see them. Do you have things like this at your own house? Do you have things like this in your own room? That if the Lord Jesus will come physically to you, you will hide it right away because you know it's against his mind. So I have to take back what I said earlier. And especially you are recording in the back. I took it back. But it is real. He is son over his house means everything is in accordance to him being the son over his own house. Because that title, son over his house, is pertaining deity as well. Deity as well. The second thing that connected with the house of God, and that is Psalm 93, just one second. It is holiness. When you go to Psalm 93, I believe, it says, holiness becometh thy house, O God. Holiness. When you read the Bible and you read the word holy, and when you read your Bible and you read the word sanctify, and when you read your Bible and you hear the word saints, you can rest assured they're all from the same root word. Means somebody that is set aside for God. And that's why holiness becometh the house of God. Means everything we do and everything we say and everything we maintain has to have the character of holiness, set aside, accepted to God. We just cannot introduce anything we want. We cannot, this is why I say it, you know what, it's not the best subject. But this is why sometimes it requires When a person doesn't listen to the exhortations, after you speak to that person once and twice and you apply all the discipline that we learn in the scripture of how to behave with someone that is walking disorderly, that's living in sin, the saddest thing that a believer can do or a company can do is putting somebody out. But have you ever understood why do we put somebody out? Why God said, I will not have the leper be at the camp, inside the camp. Where does he have to go? Outside the camp. Why? For I dwell there. God cannot have anything that relates to sin in his own presence. And dear brother, dear sister, when this horrible step is taken in the life of a believer, it's simply because the brethren are trying to maintain that principle, holiness becometh thy house, O God. It is all about holiness. So it gives us another sense of responsibility of you and I, how we ought to behave in the house of God. When I understand that holiness is a feature that should be seen in the house of God, holiness. And that's why earlier I said and I encourage, and I will continue to encourage until the Lord comes, be careful, little brother, young brother, how you come to the meeting. Be careful, young sister, how you dress to the meeting. Be careful, older brethren, how we deal with the young ones. And be careful, young ones, how we deal with our older brethren, because holiness becometh thy house of God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And everything belongs to God, has to take character from his own nature. And the house of God belongs to God. And if the house of God belongs to God, it has to have the same feature. Holiness becomes thy house, O God. And the last thing in closing is that judgment, and that's why we're connecting everything together, begins from where? Where is judgment? When things are judged, when the Lord judged in the book of Samuel, before he judged the people, you know who he had judged? In the first part of Samuel, before he judged the people and the ark was taken, you know who he had judged? He judged those that were responsible in the house of God. He judged the sons of Eli. Because it first begins from the house of God. God does not have a double standard. You know, we have the double standard. When I want to judge and deal with matters, I am willing to start with every brother and every sister in the back and in the front, start judging them before I start with myself, right? The Lord Jesus says you are able to see this little piece of wood. You are, and you will judge it, and you will gossip, and you will speak about it. But there's a huge beam in your own eye, and you cannot judge it. But God does not have a double standard, you know. God will start with his own backyard, if I can use that term reverently. He starts with the house of God. He starts with those that he loves. He starts with those that are supposed to know how to behave in the house of God. He starts to make sure that his holiness is being maintained. And when you and I will fail to judge, self-judgment and judgment, first it starts with self. And judge ye as one as wise men. When we will fail to judge that which is right before God, you can rest assured that the judgment of God starts first with who? With us, with the house of God. So dear brethren, it will teach you one thing. That I better start learning of how to behave in the presence of the Lord. That's all I have to say. There are many things to be said about the house of God. But time does not allow us. But your time with the Lord should be when you leave this place. Is that to read more and more about this subject about the house of God. To understand that it's a wonderful privilege to be part of the household of faith. Wonderful privilege, dear brethren. But with the privilege comes responsibility. Let's learn how to be responsible before God. Let's learn how we ought to behave before God and before the saints of God. Because after all, he is the one who is the son over his house. He's the one who has the right to administer everything he sees fit toward that house. And you and I, we have to behave and play our role, if I can use that term, in light of the instruction He has given us. He desires to dwell. He loves to dwell with us. He loves to have a relationship with each and every one of us and collectively. But in a practical way, it's conditional here on earth. In a practical way. The position is secure. But the practical aspect of it is that ye ought to know how to behave in the house of God. Let's learn behavior so that He will be honored. He will be magnified. And if I want to say a quick word, hold these things dear to you. Don't let it go. Don't get discouraged. Don't get disappointed. You know when you get discouraged and disappointed? Because you're looking at individuals like me. You get discouraged and you get disappointed. Look at the scriptures. Maintain that which the Lord has given us. And let's maintain holiness in the assemblies and the gathering that we have. Because let's honor the Lord before we honor men. We're not here to please men. The Apostle Paul says if his apostleship was to please men, then he was nothing. We're not here to please men. We're here to please God and to go along nicely. So may the Lord grant us the help to understand that the presence of the Lord is where the house of God is. And that's His dwelling place. And you and I, in a practical way, in light of knowing this, I have to know how to behave and how to deal with certain things that will come into the assembly, into the house of God, and deal with them accordingly to the mind of God. And may it be so for His name's sake. Amen.